It's November 3rd, 2013, in Houston, Texas. Get some water. So today is Diwali, the festival of light. And Krishna says that he is the light of the sun and the light of the moon. We say, come from the temporary and the false to the real and the eternal, from the asat to the sat, from the darkness to the light. We want to come to light, a festival of light. So even in this dark universe, the universe is naturally dark. We have the light of the sun, the light of the moon. Even our electric lights are really coming from the sun. You know that? Did you know that? Did you know that? So how do we get electricity? Any, you know how we get electricity? No? Anybody know? Yes, you know? How do we get it from the sun? Sometimes people have solar panels and they get it directly from the sun. But even if you're burning fossil fuels, you know what fossil fuels are?
Yeah.
You know what are they?
It's like it's animals are dead.
Plants, actually. Plants. Yeah, plants. So where did the plants get their energy from?
Sun.
From the sun, yes. So all of our lights are coming from the sun. And our lives are filled with some sort of light. If we want to remember God, if we want to remember spirituality, you don't have to leave everything and go to a cave in the Himalayas. You just have to meditate on the light that's already around you. Krishna says, I am that light. So, of course, light is symbolic of welcoming. If you want someone to come to your house, you turn on the lights. In the same way, Krishna is very welcoming. He's saying, please, come home. Please, come and be happy. He says, Sarva Dharma and Vrityaja, Mame Kam Sharnam Vrityaham Tvam Sarva Pape Pyamokshi Shyami Masuja. Don't worry about anything. Whatever, it's finished. I'll take care of it. You just come and be with me. Oh, just very simple. Janma Karma Tame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvata. Just understand that I'm transcendental. That my janma, my karma, my birth, my activities, they're divya, they're not ordinary. And then, no more birth and death. You go to Krishna. He's so welcoming. He's so welcoming. Although each and dvesha, we're all covered with material desires and envy, still he's welcoming. Still he's welcoming. We all know, yes, that in our hearts and minds there's nasty things. Isn't it a fact? Yes? Anybody here, would you like all the contents of your mind put out for public display? Anybody? Oh, interesting. But still Krishna's welcoming us, huh? I'm sure even our best friends, if they knew everything we thought, they might not welcome us anymore. But Krishna's welcoming. So whenever we see light, we remember how welcoming Krishna is, how loving he is. Just like light is welcoming. And we have our festival of light in every culture. Light is associated with festivities. Isn't it a fact? We passed on the road this big fireworks place, only open like 3 days a year or something. But in every culture, even in a materialistic culture, they associate light with festivity. And because light is ultimately Krishna, Krishna is very festive. Whenever we see any light, we can remember not only is Krishna welcoming, but he's very festive. He's very mirthful. He's very youthful. Ajam Purana Purusham Navi Yovanam Cha. Thank you so much. He's the first being. Ajam, he's the beginning. Purana Purusham. Purusha means a man. Purana means old. So Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel, he painted God is very old. Anybody here like to get old? I have a very beautiful hair color. Would anyone like to dye your hair that color? No? And I have some attractive wrinkles. You can go to the plastic surgeon. They can give you some, just like mine. People say to me, Ermila, you've lost weight. I said, no, my face has just fallen from gravity. So who wants to be old? And people think God is very old. Purana Purusham must be a very old man. But no, he's eternally 15. Not just that he looks 15, he has the mood of a 15-year-old, but he also knows everything. Isn't that cool? Didn't you all want that when you were 15? Yes? Those of us who are past 15? Some of you haven't gotten there yet. So he's very mirthful. 15-year-old boy, he likes to play, likes to do things that are fun. So light is very much associated with fun, with festivity. Whenever we see light, we can think about how God is a God of fun. He's a God of lila, of krida. He likes to play. It's like this is the month of Damodar. We're celebrating how Krishna appears as a little boy feeding butter to the monkeys. He likes to play. Light is also very much associated with love. Someone's full of light. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this song, Prema Pradipa Artik Tomar. I will offer you Artik, not with an ordinary light. Usually we offer Artik with cotton dipped in ghee. Of course, now sometimes it's just electric. I was at someone's house the other day. It looked like they had a very beautiful, you know, it was the brass lamp, and it looked like there was a lit ghee wick in each. But I looked, it was just electric. But we are offering with the light of love. So light reminds us also that God is full of love. God is not some despotic ruler. We may think that because there's so much suffering in this world, is there suffering in this world? Who here has some sort of suffering in their life going on in their life right now? Who has some sort of suffering going on in their life right now? Yes, okay. So we might think that because there's so much difficulty that God must be a mean guy, but really what he's doing is he's fulfilling all of our desires, and we have very foolish desires. That's the problem. He's fulfilling our desires, and we don't know what to desire. We're desiring things that bring us suffering. But really, God is very loving. And the reason he allows us to fulfill desires which bring us suffering is because he loves us. He wants to give us our free will. Out of affection, he gives us freedom. Okay, everybody. One, two, three, move forward. One of the purposes of ISKCON is to bring the members closer to each other. So, there you go. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Pretty soon you'll be on my lap. Yes. All right. So whenever we see light, we can think of how God is loving. God is loving. Just like the parents, they give their child freedom out of love. Even a little child, you give them some freedom, right? You may let them choose what color clothes you want to wear, what toys you want to play with. Or Prabhupada gives the example, even the dog. The owner is taking the dog for a walk, and they give the dog some freedom, run here and there, out of affection. So Krishna is given freedom. The fact that we misuse our freedom and we desire foolish things does not mean that God is not loving. So light reminds us that God is very loving. And of course, light is associated with knowledge. Jnana dipena bashpata. Krishna says that he lights up our heart with a dipa, with the light of knowledge. He says, when you see everything, when you understand transcendental knowledge, it's just like the sun lighting up everything in the daytime. Even material knowledge, we associate with light. I once talked to a woman who put textbooks into Braille for the blind. And she was saying that blindness elicits practically the most sympathy of any disability. the people are very much willing to help blind persons. Because we understand that it's with our eyes and with light that we understand practically everything. But transcendental knowledge is also compared to light. Oh, it's like that. We call it enlightenment. The reason that we make poor choices. Who here has made a poor choice in the last year? Yeah. Some of you are sleeping. So, why do we make poor choices? Because we don't see the results of our choices, isn't it? It's like we're making them blindly. It's like kind of like you're going down a road and you can't see where it goes. You just do something. You don't know where it's going. But when one is enlightened, one can understand the results of one's actions. Srila Prabhupada says that those who've attained jubhava, ecstasy and love of God, they don't fall into illusion. Not because God has handcuffed them, but Prabhupada says because they see the naked form of material desires. They see the reality. Maya means that which is not. Illusion means it looks like something, but it's really something else. So there's a very famous classical story of Ulysses. Some of you are familiar with the Greek classics? I don't know if they teach these in school anymore. They teach these? The Iliad and the Odyssey? Anybody learn these in school anymore? So in the Odyssey, oh good. How many of you have read the Odyssey sometime? Oh, a third of you. All right. So in the Odyssey, Ulysses is coming back from winning the war, and he has all kinds of difficulty that he encounters on his ship. Actually, Srila Prabhupada refers to the Odyssey several times in his lectures. And at one point he's warned that there's an island of witches. And these witches are cannibals who eat sailors. And as witches, they're able to cast a spell. And the way they cast a spell is by singing. And the name of these witches, anyone know what the name of them is? They're called the?
Sirens.
The sirens, yes, that's where we get our word sirens. So they're very good. So they're the sirens, and they sing a song. And when they sing this song, anyone who hears the song sees their desert island just like Hawaii or Tahiti. And the witches look like beautiful young women on this tropical island. So when Ulysses was warned about this, when they came close to the island, he had all of his men put wax in their ears so they wouldn't hear the song of the siren. But he was curious. So he didn't put wax in his ears, but he told his men, "You tie me to the mast, and if I give any order while we pass this island, you ignore me." So he's hearing the song, and he's becoming practically crazy. And the men who have the wax in their ears, they just see piles of human bones and these witches and this desert, and they're rowing as fast as they can to get past it. So when you come to enlightenment, you see Maya for what it is. You see that Maya is simply birth, death, old age, and disease. It's simply suffering. It doesn't bring any happiness. Looks like it, but it doesn't. So this enlightenment says, when you're in enlightenment, you realize, I'm part of God. Mamayamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. I am part of God, who is complete. Om purnamada purnamidam purnat purnat ujjatate. Purnasya purnamadaya purnat purnat. Thank you. So God is complete and I am part of Him. And therefore, I also have everything for my satisfaction as soon as I realize I'm connected with the complete. And Maya says, you're separate. You're in lack. You're incomplete. You need to get this and that and this and that and this and that to feel complete. And one never feels complete. So enlightenment, you see the truth. I am already part and parcel of the complete whole. I am already connected to the complete whole. And therefore one becomes Atmarama, Atmatushta, Atmarati. One becomes full of internal happiness. So on this festival of light, we can be reminded anytime we see a light, not only on Diwali or Deepawali, depending on where you're from, that any time we see lights at any time, the sun rising in the morning, our alarm clock lighting up, our watch lighting up at night, the street light. Does your watch light up? And so remembering Krishna, which is the essence of spiritual life, to be absorbed in thoughts of the reality, is as simple as meditating on light. And by meditating on light, remembering Krishna. It's just that simple. Srila Prabhupada would always say, what is the difficulty? It's very simple. It's not something difficult. You may be at your job, you may be at your kitchen sink, you may be in your car. There's always some light. Now, this is the new year, but it can be constantly new and new and new. Like Sanjaya says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, whenever I remember this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, I feel a thrill at every moment. And Srila Prabhupada says by meditating on the Bhagavad Gita, one feels a thrill not only for one time, but constantly at every moment. Material things don't do that, do they? So if you feel a thrill from eating pizza, it doesn't go on and on and on. Yes? You eat one piece, two pieces, three pieces, four pieces, and then there's no more thrill. Yes? After you get to 10 pieces, then it's disgusting. Or if you eat pizza for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for breakfast, it becomes, there's no more thrill. But materially, it keeps on. One becomes constantly enlivened and enlightened. So Krishna consciousness is that simple. So, of course, today we also are celebrating the victory of light over darkness, the victory of truth over falsity. And there are many stories associated with Diwali. There's the story of Krishna killing Narakasura. There's the story of Ram and Sita returning to Ayodhya. There's the story of Mother Yasoda binding Krishna, which also happened on this day. There's also a story of Krishna begging the gopis for pearls, by Majjana Kund, which also happened on this day. So many stories associated with this day. I thought we could meditate on some of them. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So why don't we take Ramchandra first? If we run out of time, at least we'll meditate on Ramchandra. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, yes. So I was very fortunate for a long time, close to a year, I was in a drama of the Ramayana. Unfortunately, I had to play a demon. I played Sri Prabhupada. And I want to unite myself with you, O best of men, be my husband. Yeah, that was my part in the drama, unfortunately. And then going to Ravana. What kind of a brother and hero and king are you anyway? So that was, but it was wonderful. We really got to be absorbed in Ram Lila. So Ram is the avatar of the perfect hero, the perfect king. When Ramchandra was ruling the world was like Vaikuntha. There was no anxiety. Nobody took Prozac. There was no crime. There was not even death if you didn't want it. Really, that's what God wants. God does not want us to suffer. That is not a fact. Even materially, the Lord would like it that the earth was full of peace and prosperity, that all of us were healthy and peaceful and happy. That's what He wants. Our suffering is due to acting against the will of the Lord. It's not the will of the Lord that we suffer. So when Krishna was here directly, when God was here as Ramchandra, as the king, it was like that all over the planet. But Ram particularly shows the limit of righteousness to such an extreme degree that, practically speaking, we cannot copy it at all. We can take it as a general example, but who can be wedded to truth to that extent? That he was to be crowned king the next day, he was the eldest, he was qualified, and because of some a manipulation by his stepmother. Poor stepmothers, they really get the bad end of the stories, don't they? So she was manipulated by her servant. She became afraid. If Ram becomes the king, then I'll be in a lesser position. My son and I will be in a lesser position. I'll lose the love of my husband. I'll lose the power that I have. So she begged her husband, please exile Ram. In those days, exile was equivalent to the death penalty for someone you don't want to give the death penalty to. Nowadays, exile doesn't really mean very much. What are you going to be exiled from? Exiled from Houston, you know, just go to Austin or Dallas or something. You know, it's not really a big deal. But in those days, exile was quite meaningful, that Ram was not allowed to enter into any city. So exiled for 14 years, and his stepmother Kaikeyi thought, 14 years everybody will forget about him. And my son Bharat will become the king, and by the time Ram returns, who knows if he'll ever return, people will lose their affection for him. Of course, that's not what happened. Because love of God, love of Lord Ramachandra, increases in separation. Right? In this world, if we're separated for too long, we forget. I spoke to one friend of mine who's a book publisher. He says, this is the land of the living. He said, generally people only buy books of some of the author if they're alive. He said, it's rare author that once they've died, people are still reading their books. Very unusual. As soon as someone dies, you forget about them very quickly. As soon as someone's even away, you busy yourself with other things. But with God, it's not like that. So when the populace of Ayodhya were separated from Ramchandra for 14 years, their love for him increased and increased and increased and increased and increased and increased. Isn't that what we all want? Don't we want a loving relationship where our loving feelings increase? Unfortunately, our material relationships are not like that. Just like those of us who have fallen in love. If you've fallen in love, boy and girl, when you first fall in love, you can't think of anything else. Isn't it? Those of us who've been in love. Everything else finished. So I always give the example of my daughter. So we looked at the charts, everything like that, and then she and her future husband were just writing over the computer, chatting and like that, just seeing each other's photos. It was 3 weeks before he came and met her. And during those 3 weeks, she said all she could think about was him. She was a teacher in our school then, and she said even she was teaching a math class, a science class, all she's thinking about is this boy. Right? Now they've been married. How long have they been married now? 16 years? I don't think she thinks about him 24 hours anymore. It's just the way it is, right? After some time, that intensity lessens. Or you have a new baby. So right after the baby's born, you're constantly thinking. You're waking up in the middle of the night. Is he breathing? Is he breathing? You know? So now all my children are in their 30s. I'm not calling them up. Are you breathing? Are you breathing? You know, it lessens. Or when we're little, our mother is everything. The little two-year-old doesn't see his mother for, where's mommy, where's mommy? And again, those of us who are adults, we're not always looking, where's my mommy? The intensity decreases. Of course, not only in our relationship with other living beings, in our feelings for objects, you buy a new car, and you know, it's my new car, and after a while, it's just your car. But we're looking for relationships where things keep increasing, where they keep getting better, where they keep getting more intense. That is there with Bhagavan. So with Ramchandra, the feelings of the citizens of Ayodhya for Ram and his feelings for them were constantly increasing, increasing, without limit. We say, chanting the holy name, Anandam Buddhivardhanam. It takes the ocean and it makes it bigger and bigger and bigger. Srila Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, said in connection with Anandam Buddhivardhanam that although we, the soul, the Atma, the Jiva, is infinitesimal, we are capable of experiencing infinite delight. So that was their feeling, and they didn't know where is Ram, what is he doing. You know, there wasn't like mobile phones and He's just gone. What has happened to him? And of course, all kinds of things happened to Ram in the forest. He was protecting the sages against the demons, and then the demon Ravana kidnapped Sita, and he waged a war with monkey soldiers. Srila Prabhupada in the ninth canto Bhagavatam talks about this war with the monkey soldiers. How, you know, Ravana and his army, they were demons, they were wizards, they had all sorts of sophisticated weapons. Whereas the monkeys, what did they have?
Rocks.
Some rocks, some sticks. Prabhupada in the purport is very funny. He said, Rama, just Rama and Lakshman shot a few arrows. But still, the monkeys won. And he compared that to us devotees of the Lord. So we are trying in the world to spread love of God. We're trying to spread consciousness of Krishna and love of God. And sometimes it must feel like we're fighting against Ravana, huh? The materialists, they have all this money for these big buildings and all this media, and they can do their 8-story-high 3D movies about a bunch of nonsense. You know, and we just have these Bollywood special defects movies of the Ramayana. It may seem like it's very difficult, yes? But the monkey army won, even though they only had sticks and stones against all the sophisticated weapons of Ravana. In fact, it seems that God likes to do that kind of thing. He likes to show that victory doesn't come to someone just who has the external material power. It comes to those who are on the side of truth. So finally, Ram is returning, and as he returns at the end of the 14 years, the whole city of Ayodhya explodes with light, that every home is decorated. So in the same way, on this Diwali, not only do we want to meditate on how we can remember the divine, how we can remember Krishna, how we can remember Ram whenever we see light, but we should also have this deepa in our own heart. Not only that we are being welcomed back to the spiritual world, but we should be welcoming. Yes, it's true that Krishna is already in our heart. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hriday Shirajunatisthiti. But are we welcoming him there? Have we cleaned our heart? Is it a nice place for him to sit or not? What are we keeping there? So our whole process in this Hare Krishna movement is to clean our heart, to light lamps in our heart and have it as a welcoming place. Our practices of chanting, of offering our food, of abstaining from intoxication, illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling. These are all to make our heart a place of love and a place of light. So although the Lord is in our heart, when we're conditioned, we don't see him. And if any of you are like me, it's been a lot longer than 14 years. It has probably been many lifetimes. Bahunam janmanam ante genamamam prapadyate vasudevam sarvamiti samahat vasudurulva. Bahunam janmanam ante. Bahunam means many. Janmanam birth. Ante end. At the end of many, 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 many births. So although the Lord's in our heart, we've been separated for many more than 14 years. But we don't have to wait. It's not like we have to wait for him. All we have to do is clean it and then he's already there. So we can make a resolution today, just like in America people make resolutions on January 1st. So we can make a resolution today. What will I do to light up my heart? I mean, it's nice to get some electric lights, or if you really are traditional, you've got a little clay cup. And if you're really traditional, you have ghee in there, not oil. But better than that, that's very nice, but better than that is light the lamp in the heart. That Ram, please come home. Please come home. I'm so sorry that like Kaikeyi, I've exiled you from my heart. I'm so sorry that I thought that if you reigned in my heart that I would be disadvantaged in some way. Actually, by not seeing you in my heart, I've just gone through an endless struggle of thinking that I'm lacking something, thinking that I need something besides you, thinking that anything will satisfy me besides you. And now I see, Lord, after so many births and deaths and so much struggle, that you are complete. And that as soon as I am connected with you, I will have everything that I want on every level. The devotee is detached from Maya because they see that Maya gives nothing, illusion gives nothing, and reality gives everything. Whatever happiness is promised by illusion is attainable in perfection in reality. So then we have the story of Krishna killing Narakasura. Narakasura is a very interesting personality because who is he? He's the son of Bhumi. He's also called Bhomasura. And who's his father? Lord Vishnu, as Varaha. So when the Prabhupada explains in the second canto of the Bhagavatam that materialists were digging for oil, we shouldn't say this in Texas probably, and they were digging for oil, and by doing that, they messed up the balance of the earth and fell out of its orbit. So then the Lord came as Varaha, and as he lifted the earth, He touched the earth with his tusk and impregnated the earth. So this is not just some sort of mythology. In the modern world, the concept is that everything is mechanical. If you go to the modern schools and universities, you watch television and go to the museums, they want to make it out that people who are religious are very foolish. Oh, you're so foolish, you believe in some gigantic boar picking up the planet on its tusks and impregnating the planet. Whereas we are very scientific. We believe in some infinitely small, infinitely dense chunk that appeared spontaneously out of nothing. Now that's not supernatural at all, is it? There was nothing, and then all of a sudden, there was an infinitely small, infinitely dense chunk. Is that rational? What do you say? Is that rational? Is that logical? Does that obey the laws of physics and chemistry and mathematics? And it gets better. Then the infinitely small, infinitely dense chunk, somehow or other, for no apparent reason, it appeared there from nothing, for no apparent reason, and for no apparent reason, it explodes. Wow. And when it exploded, it created planets. You ever seen explosions creating planets? We're going to start a new house building company here in Houston. We bring the lumber and the glass and the bricks to your lot, and we dynamite it. House. Is that the laws of physics, chemistry, mathematics? Does that work?
No.
No, you ever put something in the blender and forget to put the top on? Does your explosion create a nice preparation or just creates a mess?
A mess.
Just a mess. So this chunk exploded and it created all the, and the planets are all going perfectly. They don't crash. Every once in a while, you know, in the news, there's another plane crash. The planets are not crashing. And they're perfectly timed. Even, what is Southwest, the on-time airline, they say? Yes? But it's not as on-time as the sun. That's supposed to come from an explosion? Could Southwest Airlines come from an explosion? And that's supposed to be logical. Logical, scientific people are supposed to believe that. Oh, but it gets better. So then you have the planet that came from an explosion of this infinitely small, infinitely dense chunk that came from nothing. And on this planet, there was a bunch of matter, and there was a storm, and the storm hit the mud, and the mud became alive. So that usually happened to you. Matter becomes alive. And not only did it become alive, gradually, over billions of years, through a series of mistakes, it turned into giraffes, and oak trees, and gorillas, and people, and peacocks. That's quite a story, my friends. That story is no less fantastic than having a huge boar picking up the earth on the end of his tusks. So the people who want to say, you who believe in the scriptures, you're believing a bunch of mythology. You're believing fantastic, supernatural stories that cannot be explained by science. We say, well, I'm sorry, my dear sir, but your stories of the universe and of creation are just as fantastic. And ours came from scriptures, and you just made them up. And it makes a lot more sense to me that there's a person behind things. Just like there's these interesting balls here. So I don't know if you know how they were made, but some of you may know how they're made. So that there's people blew up these big balloons, and then they wrap string around the balloons, and then they paint on white glue, the kind you use when you were in elementary school. And then it dries a bit, and then they pop the balloons. Right? And then they put the lights inside of them. So if you come and see these and you say, this wasn't made by a person, it just appeared here in the temple room. Whereas we say everything is done by persons. What's more logical, that everything's done by persons or that things are just mechanical?
Done by persons.
What's more scientific? Everything's done by persons. Even something very simple, like the curtains on the altar. They're very, very simple. They're not complex. But still, they're done by a person. They couldn't even have been done by a 2 or 3 year old. What to speak of a chimpanzee? Or what to speak of just coming by chance? So to say that the earth is a person, to say that the earth has personality and feelings, is much more logical, is much more scientific, is much more in sync with our experience than to say that it's just a chunk of matter. All right, so the earth is a person, Bhumi, and she got impregnated by Varaha. She had this son, Bhoma. And you'd think that the child of God would be a nice guy. He started out that way, and unfortunately, by bad association, by associating with demoniac people, he became demoniac. So this can happen. We should be very careful with whom we associate. This is one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada started this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Why the people running this center take so much time and trouble and money to build this place, to build the new temple, to maintain it, so that we have a place to associate with other people who don't think it's crazy that the earth is a person. We don't think it's crazy that God is a useful flute player. That's why we have this association. So Bhoma, he had some bad friends. This is why I'm sure many of you are aware that we're starting this school project here in Houston. And one of the reasons why we're doing this is so that our children can grow up with proper association. So in the years when they're being formed, that they can have the understanding that God is a person. That being a righteous person is just as important as being a rich person. That being a righteous person and a spiritual person is just as important as having a high status career. So anyway, I had this bad association, and he decided that he would kidnap women. And this is one of the features of materialistic persons. They've become very exploitive. Unfortunately, in modern society, everybody's being exploited, but particularly women are being exploited in so many ways. So he kidnapped 16,100 princesses. He was holding them captive. And Krishna went there on the back of Garuda with his wife Satyabhama. So when Krishna likes to travel, he has a chariot also, but he likes to fly around on a big eagle. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. Fly around on a big eagle. So see, God is he's a fun guy. He's a lot of fun. He's not some stodgy old man. And usually he stands up on the back of Garuda, but maybe with Satyabhama they were sitting. Usually in the paintings they're sitting, but they might have been standing also. And he cut through all of the barriers. Thank you. Of Narikasura, Bhomasura, and he freed these girls. So in those days, generally women were protected. And so the mood was that if a girl had been out of the house with someone else, then nobody would marry her. So these girls all went to Krishna and they said, "My dear Krishna, we're kind of stuck now. This demon kidnapped us, now you've killed him. And now where is our shelter?" And Krishna said, "I will marry all of you." And Krishna expanded himself into 16,100 Krishnas and married each of them. And each of them had their own palace. So in the same way, Krishna has a relationship with each one of us. Even if we've fallen into bad association, even if we've been kidnapped by lust, anger, envy, greed, and illusion, even if we've lost our good qualities in our culture, Krishna can come and rescue us. And Krishna can have a personal, he wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us. Each queen thought, "Krishna's only in my house." So that is what we are looking for on this Diwali or Deepawali day, to remember whenever we see light, to become conscious of Krishna, to light up our own heart to receive Ram, to make it a fit place for him to stay, and to ask the Lord, "Please rescue me from illusion and make me your own." Are we ready?
Yes.
So tomorrow we're going to be celebrating Govardhan Puja, another wonderful story where Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and we plan to present for you, Krishna willing, an exciting multimedia presentation on Giriraj Govardhan and Govardhan Puja. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.